Ian Radio Podcast with Dom Chambers.
Ian Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to an In Radio Podcast special, which I'm sorry to have to let you know is mainly featuring me. Now, as far as I know, this isn't an ego gone completely rampant. It's just that someone did an interview with me and I thought it would sit rather well here. What it is, well, a few years ago, I started doing my local radio tours. As we'll hear, it was back in 2012 when I first started these with some station visits in South Wales. Why I do these things, we'll get to during this podcast. Although, I don't think I'll be giving anything away if I say right now that it is part of building a national strategic vision around local radio with social purpose. Not, I think, the first time you'll hear me articulate such sentiments. Anyway, I've kept an accurate record of all these visits. They're mainly community radio licenses, although, again, as we will hear, what is defining community radio and other radio sectors is starting to blur. But every now and again, I open up this spreadsheet and there are all the details of what radio stations I visited and who I talked to and what the purpose of it all was and what the outcomes of the visit were. And amazingly, I've got to the point where I have visited 100 stations. And just as this milestone was being approached, I started to think, well now, who shall I visit for my 100th station? And my attention quickly looked down the road from where I am in northeast Somerset, lurking as I do near Bath and Wells, and gazing over the horizon to another historic city, that of Salisbury, which is boasting, I think, a really promising new local radio station in the form of Love Salisbury. What it was, you see, back in the summer, when I was on my local radio tour, mainly up in the north and Scotland, and before I say I was really impressed with one particular station, I should say that every station I went to impressed me hugely. But what made Rhubarb Radio stand out when I visited their boss man David Stankler in Wakefield was this idea of a kind of community commercial hybrid. And one of the things that's making all this possible is the migration, by no means 100%, but there is a trend now moving towards the DAB platform. And aware of what David Harborough and his team is up to down in Salisbury, well, it was a natural choice for me to want to go there, particularly after David's success with the Love Andover branding, a station operating under the community license that's leading the way as a well-marketed, community-orientated commercial enterprise, building great loyalty and listeners as the local radio station for Andover. David will make an appearance later on in this podcast, which is mainly a conversation between myself and Love Salisbury's Beth Doherty. We disappeared into a studio and had a mighty fine conversation. But before we get to that, I just want to say that every year I do try and get a special podcast out marking World Radio Day, which is an important global event proclaimed by UNESCO back in 2011. This year, World Radio Day is on Sunday, February 13th, and rejoices under the themes of radio and trust. Now, that is pertinent to my business here today, because as I've said frequently in these podcasts, the way the radio industry is moving in this country, with the trend of recent years for commercial radio to consolidate into large regional or national offerings, well, that's left a space for local radio audiences. And that space has been filled by radio stations operating under the community license. But that in itself is also beginning to change, because whilst that trend will continue, we're also seeing the return of commercial enterprises pitching in with a local radio offer on the regional DAB muxes that are sprouting up everywhere. Now, my argument in all this, and evidenced to my mind at least by the radio tours that I go on, is that whoever's doing local radio is doing it with a community heart. Why else would they be doing it? You're not in it to make fantastic amounts of money. And what we don't need is a greatest hits brand on our doorstep, because quite frankly, Barrow are doing that very well nationally. So it's got to be about a local offering so that you can connect and lock into and engage with your fellow people living in a locality. And absolutely key to that are those trusted local voices. Boom, we're at the centre of the UNESCO-themed World Radio Day 2022. Back to my radio tours and the 100th station visited. I headed down to Salisbury in late January, where I was welcomed by Beth Doherty, and into a studio we went.
In Radio Conversations with Dom Chambers.
Hello, I'm Beth Doherty, and today I'm sat here with Dom Chambers, who is visiting his 100th radio station, and the 100th station today is Love Salisbury. So Dom, would you like to introduce yourself?
Well, it's great to be here, Beth, and I'm Dom Chambers, and I've developed this curious hobby, this habit of going around the country and visiting local radio stations. I have been involved with local radio for around about 30 years, starting out in hospital radio and then working in every radio sector there is. I used to say except for prison, because I have not been to prison, mercifully. However, I actually do workshops in prison radio now, so I suppose work in that sector. So I've got a pretty good idea of what local radio is about as somebody who's worked in it, but my career didn't really take off, I would say, until I became the boss of a radio station, and then I got some national roles, and that's what started these tours, really. So it's wonderful to be here in Salisbury on my 100th local radio station.
Yeah, so this is your 100th radio station, and why and when did you start the radio tours?
Well, back in the mists of time, really. They've gathered momentum over the years. I think the very first time I decided to go and visit a radio station for the sheer thrill of finding out about its approach to local radio was probably back 10 years ago in 2012. And I'm not including those stations I visited when I was prospecting to get into the industry 25 to 30 years ago, because that's a different stage of my life. But I think the first station I visited as an interesting community radio, certainly, was the splendidly named Radio Mumbles.
which is
near Swansea, where Mumbles is. And I went and visited Radio Mumbles and Turquoise, I think. Apologies to my Welsh friends for any mispronunciation. I think it's Radio Turquoise, which was a wonderful example of what a community will pull together to give itself a voice. Because they operated out of one of those sort of metal containers that occasionally falls off passing shipping, or indeed it falls off the back of the lorry. And they operated in that. They'd had it split into two. One end was the studio, the other was the office. And they were running a radio station for under £10,000 a year, but full of goodwill to come in and do radio and be part of the, as I would say, fabric of community life in that part of the world.
Definitely. So it's kind of the passion that comes with radio and radio stations that is kind of encouraging you to go and discover what other wonders are out there.
Well, I think so. And it's more than that. It's become more than that because, firstly, I'm the chair of the Community Media Association, which is the national representative body for community radio. And it's the second time I've been in the chair. So really, this gathered momentum the last time I was chairing, which was 2013, 14, 15. And I would go round partly to engage with members and the wider sector to encourage them to be part of the CMA and that sort of wider fraternity and family of community broadcasters in the UK. Since then, I'm also a trustee of the Radio Academy, which is the sort of central charity for the radio industry. And through that, I chaired the Audio and Radio Emergency Fund, which was the Radio Academy's response to people struggling with the onset of the pandemic and people struggling to make a living sometimes, or needing to shield and couldn't get out and earn money. So we raised £100,000 and gave it away in grants to alleviate financial distress. So these sorts of roles have given me extra cause. I'm very focused on national strategy for local radio. And it's for that reason that me and my team have taken on Local Radio Day, which we did, I think, will be 4 years ago this October. Excellent idea, started by UKRD. UKRD did it for 2 years. They got bought up by Bauer. They were happy to pass it on to me to ensure some sort of legacy of the good thing that they'd started. And it was very much about an inclusive ethos, Local Radio Day. So they wanted to see commercial radio stations, BBC local radio stations, community radio stations, all working together on one day in the year to celebrate local radio and the importance of local radio in the fabric of community life. I've used that phrase once before in this conversation, possibly not for the last time either. And what more evidence do we need of how important local radio is when we've been in restricted movement times, lockdowns, and local radio has become so central and important to really engage with others in your community, as well as be informed and entertained by those trusted local voices and being informed what's going around on around us, so that we know what's happening round the corner, particularly when we weren't able to socialise and intermingle with other people. So local radio, what is it this year? 100 years since the BBC launched. I think last year we celebrated 100 years since Marconi first did a thing in Chelmsford and got radio going in the way that we know it and love it. And 100 years later, I don't think it's ever seen a higher need or relevancy for local radio here in the UK, indeed across the world.
Definitely. And speaking of local, we are currently sat here in the Love Salisbury studio, which is in the heart of the city centre, obviously in Salisbury. So why did you want to visit us?
I wanted to come to this station because I think local radio is changing very fast. And in fact, delete the word I think. Let's just say local radio is changing very fast. I've been around in this industry for long enough to see many, many shifts, and a lot of that is driven by technical change. But essentially, from a license point of view, you've got three areas of license traditionally in local radio. BBC local radio, they were the first at it, launching in 1967 in Leicester, I think it was. Commercial radio arriving under the Ted Heath Conservative government in the early 1970s. And then long time after, the new kids on the block, yeah, we arrived. It's the community radio sector, legislated for 2003 and became a reality after the success of the Access pilots in 2005. But these had strong lines of demarcation between them. I think this is sort of starting to blur now, and technology is beginning to, as always, is driving that, but because now we're looking at how the licensing for small-scale DAB is working, and indeed that rollout has long since started. So we're seeing the rise of all sorts of new local radio stations who aren't necessarily operating under a community license, but they may be, for instance, commercial businesses, but operating with a community heart. That's sort of one of the areas of fusion. So I think what we're seeing now is a sort of migration towards community-orientated local radio. But even the strong area of demarcation known as the BBC, I think that's going to start to break down as well. I'm sure that in years to come, actually I'm not sure, but I think it's a possible trend that BBC local radio stations and some community licenses could start to fuse together. And of course, anyone keeping an eye on the media news at the moment knows that the BBC is going through huge changes driven by a government, I think, that's determined not to do what other governments have done, which is roll over the charter for another 10 years. We're midpoint between the charters of 2017 and 2027. And I think that's why the Secretary of State announced recently that the licence fee would be going. And so the BBC now needs to ask itself, how is it going to fund local radio? And the BBC Studios has long since started a kind of commercial approach, and the licence fee is only a part of how the revenue works for the BBC. But my understanding, and I'm not an expert on this, my understanding is the licence fee has largely paid for radio from the BBC in this country. So I do wonder if we won't see more of a hybrid between BBC local radio and, for instance, community radio. And I think there's a very good fit there. In 2015, I created and signed with David Holdsworth, who was the head of English regions at the BBC, the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding between the CMA and BBC local radio. And that established, I mean, to be fair, that MOU was around before then. But to be honest, between you and I, Beth, it was more about what this wasn't going to achieve. Mm. And I turned that around and said, well, what actually could be achieved out of this? And that happened with David's consent. We signed that. That MOU got a new lease of life with the arrival of COVID, when the BBC opened up its news services, not only to community radio, but also to commercial radio. I'm not sure how many commercial radio stations took them up on the offer, but certainly the offer was there. So I think that very much indicates the direction of progress. Back to the original question, which amazingly I do actually remember, is I think Love Salisbury is this kind of contemporary local radio station. We're in a city that has a very strong history of ILR, which was the independent local radio. Spire FM round here had a long and honourable history as an independent local radio station. Like all the ILRs, Independence, by the way, stood for Independence from the BBC, was the original thing. And that was that legislation that came out in the 70s. I think the first ILR or commercial radio station was either Capital or LBC. I can't remember which, but they weren't very far apart in terms of launch dates in 1973. But those radio stations all but disappeared because of the way commercial radio has needed to sort of homogenize in order to create a more promising advertising offer. And there has been a deregulatory ethos going on at Ofcom, and indeed governments of all descriptions have a pretty deregulatory ethos when it comes to broadcasting. Because what you need to do is you need to bring in controls when you launch something, and if it's working, then you can relax some of those controls. So there's quite a lot of protection for commercial radio when community radio came in, so that, you know, there wouldn't be an overlap between the two. You need to protect community radio from commerce in the sense of snapping up all the radio stations and creating some sort of empire, which is what has happened in the ILR sector. But also you need to keep, there was protective measures for commercial radio so that there wouldn't be too much advertising revenue migrating from one sector to the other. Now, my personal view is that the government actually doesn't have any business protecting one industry sector from another. And I think that is working its way through. Next year, there will be a media bill in this country, and all sorts of things are going to happen in that. But I think you'll see the relaxing of the restrictions for commercial revenue in community stations. Although I think it's very important that we continue to keep ourselves as community broadcasters free so that we can do those key commitments, do those things that we say that we're going to do in our communities. But the fact that you can only own one license, a business can only own one license and can't own multi-licenses, is, I think, a restriction that will keep community broadcasting quite distinctive. And the fact those key commitments, I hope, will survive the media bill, because I think it's really important.
Definitely. And what do you kind of see these stations like Love Salisbury and Summer Valley FM, what are the benefits to the listeners and the local community in having them?
Well, just to finish up why I'm here is because I like the fact that Love Salisbury is on paper a commercial radio station. But that idea of the big kind of revenue commercial stations of the past, it's got to operate on a kind of community level. And I think that's really one of the reasons why I wanted to come here. But what is local radio, whether it's Love Salisbury, Summer Valley FM you mentioned, I ran that for 13 years, or any of the commercial or any of the local radio stations, rather, that's springing up on the local DAB muxes. I think it is about locally trusted voices. It is about what is happening in your town, city, area. So there's two kinds of local radio, as far as I'm concerned. There's areas of geographic location, and then there's local radio stations going for what you might describe as a community of interest. So the old ILRs, largely migrating to the community sector, and a guy who starts Love Salisbury knows all about that because he started Love Andover, and that operates under the community license. But you look at Love Andover and you think that is an independent local radio station in the traditional way. It's commercially very attractive, but obviously operated on a non-profit basis. So I do think people are tapping in. There's got to be a reason for them tapping in, other than staying at home listening to their own music selections on their devices or the national radio offers. You know, the radio quality in the UK is huge. I love Greatest Hits Radio. I love Radio 4. I love LBC. You know, I don't listen to Radio 1 very often. I love Radio 2, but maybe that's because I've just reached that point in life when it's more Radio 2 than Radio 1. But for years, I loved listening to Radio 1, and there's presenters I work with on Radio 1 who I admire very much. So I think we've got a great national offering. We've got some strong regional offerings as well, which are almost like national brands. And I'm not sure, are there parts of the UK where you can't get Heart? I think maybe there are, but I don't know where they are. So there's got to be a reason for local radio. There's no point, in my view, having a local radio station that merely replicates Greatest Hits, Because, what you know, Bauer do that really well. So why not leave them to their business and get on with the business of empowering local voices, empowering communities? And that takes me back to that other sort of community radio, which is a community of interest. Now, that could be for, say, a Muslim community or a Jewish community, a minority community, or a community of interest such as the gay community, like Gaydio or Pride would be examples of that. And those tend to exist in urban areas where you've got quite a populated landscape in local radio. But here in Salisbury, what you're looking for is a viable, good local radio station that locals are going to want to listen to and be an audience for. Because if you've got that, you've got advertising revenue and you've got a business. And anything that isn't a business won't be here for very long.
No, sadly so. And going forward, you know, on your next set of radio stations, where are you hoping to go next?
The next 100. Actually, I want to go on a, this is a serious thought, I want to go on a community radio tour of South Africa and Mozambique. But that's partly because I run a charity that's is scaling up very fast. And some of the outcomes that you can achieve through training, I mean, my starting point here is that in the community sector, everybody's, well, most people are volunteers. And those who aren't volunteers tend to be managers, and they're not necessarily paid to speak on the radio. They're paid to organize volunteers and run a business. So everybody needs to be trained. And my argument is that you can achieve more with that training by way of a social agenda than the merely training people to service the needs of a radio station.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? Radio isn't just beneficial to the local community or the listeners, but the people that take part, especially from your perspective of Summer Valley FM and your charity, the benefits that you have seen are huge.
Absolutely. And I think the great focus of what's happening in society as we start to come out of this pandemic, although I have a horrible feeling that, this kind of national health crisis is and pandemic is not going to be far from us as we go about our daily lives for the next several years. But what have we learnt? We've learnt how vulnerable people are when isolated, how susceptible they might be to bad lifestyle choices. Mental health challenges are huge in all generations. But the fact that you and I would have enjoyed school, we may not have appreciated it at the time, but the fact that we had a school to go into where there would be a teacher to teach us, you know, we could sit down with our mates and have school dinners and all that stuff. You know, this was deprived of a whole generation of young people, and having to stay in a home which was not always the happiest of homes, perhaps in some cases, a lot of pressures on people. And I think that with the sort of training that you can do in a community radio station, you are an inclusive environment, and I think that's so important. It's an environment that you're not going to get laughed at. You're not going to be judged against. You know the biggest fear of young people? It's the fear of being laughed at.
Yeah, I can imagine that, especially today in a social media age where everyone has grown up, constantly, potentially having the option to be judged.
Yes, absolutely. So I think the fact that you're including people in your environments where they can feel safe and comfortable is really important. But also, and I started a list of eight, so I think there's a B coming now, it is about oracy, it is about verbal confidence. Now, if you're, a lot of my training is involving younger people, but a lot of these benefits benefit all generations. But let's say you are not enjoying life to the full, age 13 or 14, a sort of that problematic period between childhood and adulthood, and you're worried about making your presentation at school. You know, if you, again, if you can come in and just sit in a studio, get a bit of training, but work possibly on your own, putting those hours in, just building your confidence, and then having conversations like this, you know, interviewing, you are going to be so much more of a credible candidate when you're going for that highly competitive job position in the future. And yes, we may all have a workplace full of robots, and in the, even the near future now, I suspect, but there's always going to be a need for people's skills. And I think those are the sorts of outcomes. Particularly, I think it's so important of nurturing creativity, in this case in audio, you know, because you can do podcasts as well as radio. And that is creativity that, when encouraged, will have a direct link to your mental health and general well-being. So I think it's really important to recognise that the kinds of training I've been running, and that happens all around the country, is helping the government, is helping society resolve and meet some of its of the significant social challenges that we have in our times. And once you get onto that, then you've got onto the possibility of getting funded, and funding community radio, funding local radio, as the bosses here in Salisbury know, is not an easy task at all. And you only do it really because you love radio, you love your communities. There's probably easier ways of earning a living, quite frankly. And those massive salaries that you read about in the newspapers only apply to a handful of people, frankly, and not to 95% of us in the industry are here because we love it. And in my case, and there's so many other people like this as well, they enjoy that cross-generational connection. You know, in a community station, people can meet people they would never expect to meet in a happy and safe environment. You know, that's wonderful when young people and older people can communicate and understand each other. How many times do you hear an old person say, "Oh, the generation today, you know, a waste of space," and all this other thing? And how often do you think of a young person dismissing people as old fogies and out of touch? And actually, if you get them talking to each other, they realise they've got a lot in common, because, you know, a teenager of the 1950s in many ways is a very different beast than a teenager of 2022, but there's a lot of commonality as well, and you can explore those.
Definitely. And I think you said it, the clue's in our name as well, Love Salisbury. You know, everyone's especially in it because they love it and the passion is there. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, Dom. Is there any kind of ending thoughts that you...
You're a journalist. We always add that at the end of an interview. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I would just like to say that Love Salisbury, which comes from that Love Andover approach as well, it's great branding. And whether you're operating as a commercial business, as Love Salisbury is, or whether you're operating under the community license, which needs to operate as a business, of course, but it's on a not-for-profit basis for community benefit, it's so important to have the branding that helps carry your mission. And I think it's such a simple idea, but the best ideas are simple, aren't they? Stick Love on the front of your town, or city in this case, you have immediately established where you want your followers to be, the space that you want them to occupy. And then you turn up the volume and pump them a fine bit of local radio. So I think good on you. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here today, is you're at the start of the local radio journey, or very early days, about to go on DAB. So I wish you all the success in the world. And I won't leave it another 100 before I come back here.
Please don't, because we'd love to see you again soon. Thanks so much, Dom. Pleasure chatting with you.
In Radio, conversations with Dom Chambers.
And thanks very much to Beth for putting that together. Always a pleasure to engage with somebody who, at an early stage in their career, has clearly an abundance of creativity in this business that we're all in. And I look forward to watching Beth's career with interest. For now, though, it's over to the old warhorse himself. Yep, I could hardly do a podcast in which I visited one of David's stations with not hearing from the man himself. And I have to say, just before David gets going, it is a little bit worrying if David's not actually being rude about me. There's sort of a reverse thing going on there, which makes sense if you know him.
We are in radio.
Well, it's always a real delight to catch up with Dom. When he arrives, he uses up huge amounts of space because he brings with him enormous bags of charm and charisma.
Oh, do behave.
And knowledge. So at Salisbury Radio, we are really proud to be his 100th station. It's quite a bit of effort that he's put in over the last few years or so. And the timing, of course, is absolutely immaculate. We are about to launch on the small-scale DAB multiplex serving South Wiltshire and West Hampshire. Dom, of course, has had lots of learnings. He's learned lots from the previous 99 stations that he has visited. And I think we both agree. I've said for many years that there will always be a narrowing gap between what you might consider to be community radio and what you might historically just believe was ILR, independent local radio stations. I think Dom has learned huge amounts by visiting so many different formats, versions of community radio over the last few years. So I'm no doubt that he has experienced lots of changes in the sector. I do think that radio remains essential in people's lives. I think the work of quite a lot of stations over the coronavirus lockdown period have absolutely proved that. Radio today is really still relevant. It's still resourceful and of real use and benefit to its listening audience. But also, it has the ability to attract an audience across other media as well. Let's use a Facebook, Instagram, websites as an example. When Spire FM, which was the commercial radio station in Salisbury, launched in 1992, of course, there were no websites, there was no social media. You know, it was the only place you would get access to information unless you waited until Friday when the local newspaper came out, by which point the news was out of date. Radio remains immediate, and I think the radio sector, particularly small-scale radio, really needs to understand the power of the other media outlets available to it. Otherwise, the sector is going to fall foul of something that happened to newspapers many years ago. I think, the big local, regional, national press just thought this internet thing would be a passing fad and didn't. And in fact, they still haven't quite got their head around how they can work hand in hand. And I think radio is in just a brilliant position to embrace how to deliver its brand, its messages, its stories, and access its audience using social media. I do think that Dom has become a walking, talking database of information from gathered from the 99 stations, previous stations that he has visited. And I'm really looking forward to finding an efficient way of eking that out of Dom's brain, because that database is going to be of huge use, not just to individual radio stations and, by association, the audiences they serve, but also to what I think is a really interesting growing sector.
Well, thanks very much, David. Nice words in there. And I mentioned earlier in the podcast that's so much of the station visits and everything that I'm about and the organisations that I'm involved with and some great teams I'm proud to be part of up and down the land. It's about building that strategic vision for local radio with social purpose. And David, you are a key part of that team, as anybody who knows anything about Local Radio Day knows. More about which on another occasion. In fact, the next occasion of this podcast, we'll return to that theme of the differing models of local radio as I head to Scotland and see firsthand some incredible models for community broadcasting. Right now, though, it's time for someone else to speak. So with that, I'll gently fade myself away whilst wishing broadcasters and audiences right across the globe a very happy World Radio Day 2022.